Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first installment of the Rebel Room post-game edition. Ryan Green, Rob Misch here, fresh off of UNLV's ugly 65-60 victory over San Diego in the 2008-2009 regular season opener out at the Thomas and Mack Center on Saturday afternoon. Ugly. Ugly. I don't know that I'd go snoozer.
It was just ugly. Yeah.
Neither team shoots better than 40%. UNLV goes 8-29 from deep.
It was a difficult game to watch, and I think it was perplexing for a lot of UNLV fans who thought that UNLV might come out a little stronger and show a little bit more force against a depleted San Diego team that was missing.
Yeah.
They were missing four players, which totaled 30 points of production from last season, and it did not go that way at all. They were tough. They were gritty. Bill Greer's system is... It almost mirrors Kruger's system, tight defense, and they made it very difficult for the Rebels.
Well, we're gonna get pretty in depth here, talking about basically everything that went into the 65-60 UNLV win that makes the Rebels 1-0 on the young season. But first, let's get some reaction from the post game sessions with Coach Lon Kruger. We got Wink Adams, Rene Rougeau, and Trevon Willis. Here's what they had to say following today's victory. Take it away, guys.
It was a ball game that really didn't have a lot of flow to it. And, I think credit San Diego and Coach Greer for that. I thought they did a great job with changing things up, and the zone got us standing a little bit. And we've got to learn from the opportunity to play against zone and move a lot better, attack a lot better, and make some progress. Credit our guys for stepping up and making some shots when they needed to. San Diego had us on our heels there late, and Joe knocked down a shot, some free throws, as well as a couple good defensive steps, stands there at the end, and big rebounds. So good ball game, good first win, be a great experience for us. I think this is a club, and has been for the last couple of years, where we live a lot by the three. We still need to throw it inside more. And if not throw it inside more, just attack. I thought we got 10 of today around the perimeter. We've got to be able to drive the ball at gaps and make plays for each other, as opposed to just moving the ball around the perimeter. So whether it be on the pass or on the penetration, we've got to get inside more for sure.
Well, no, I think, we got a lot of, open looks. We just can knock down a shot. So, definitely, for the rest of the week, we got to get in the gym and put up some more shots because, tonight, even our best shooters like Joe and Kellen, they miss a lot. And, all the open looks that we got, we just miss and we didn't shoot a really good percentage, but just kind of find a way to win at the end. We need more guys, going to, getting to the paint and making defense collapse and, creating shots for Joe and Kellen, our shooters, and definitely going down to like Darius and Bryce and those guys to get some inside-out plays. So once we can do that, we'll start knocking down some shots.
If you had to think of a way to describe those final 6 minutes where you have a six-point lead and then don't score a field goal the rest of the way after Oscar's jam and still come away with a win in a close game, what's the best way to describe that?
Just a lot of fight, basically. The guys, we lost the lead for a minute there, but everyone just stuck with it. We finally hit some free throws down the road, and it really came down to defense. Although we're not scoring, we can't let them score as well. So, they hit a few big baskets, but we finally settled down and got some good defensive stops. Oh yeah, it's still early, first game. That's probably the toughest season opener I've ever played in also. So it's gonna come along. We have three games next week, so we're definitely getting more ready for it for sure.
Because we're gonna keep gelling together, and me myself, I had one of the most off nights I've ever had in my life. So I tried to pick it up myself personally on defensive end, and make my contribution there because I wasn't much of a factor on the offensive end, missing shots. But that's why I tried to step it up on the defensive end and try to help my team get a victory. Because I remember Coach recalling was going, we don't have to go too fast, just be patient and get what we want. I felt we was getting good looks. We just didn't make shots. Like me personally, I didn't make shots. But, we got what we want. We got some good looks, and most of them didn't fall. But luckily, we still got that W.
All right, so that's what they had to say. Now we all know what you want to hear what we have to say, though. Right? Yeah, that's pretty much what I think. That's that's what my parents thought for 18 years of living at home every time I opened my mouth. So
hello.
Well, you know, one guy I guess who's a good, it's a good place to start talking about this game, Oscar Belfield. It was a little bit of a head scratcher when he got the start in the exhibition against Washburn. You know, you could argue that he had Trevon Willis played games that were kind of similar to each other that, you know, that night. Today, Belfield was really one of the main reasons why UNLV got the victory.
He showed why Kruger has faith in him and why he is the starting point guard. Assistant coach Lou Hill is extremely high on Belfield, and he showed just a little bit of a glimpse of what he can bring to the table today. After I asked Lou Hill about Oscar's performance, he kind of winked at me and said there's a whole lot more to come. You haven't seen anything yet. So I think as he gets more comfortable with the game, with the Division I opponents, with his new teammates, with the arena, you're going to see a pretty standout point guard. And he really played a solid game today. He had 13 points, 6 assists, 2 turnovers, and a dunk that brought down the house.
And, you know, it's funny because that dunk, I think for a lot of UNLV fans who really haven't seen him play much, that was pretty unexpected. I mean, he blew past the defender. Musamba set a monster screen for him, and he just kind of rose, turned really quick and rose. I mean, it was a really athletic play.
I thought it was going to be a power layup. No question, no problem.
I wasn't expecting a dunk.
I haven't seen that from him in the last month in practice, so it caught even a lot more people than just the fans by surprise.
Yeah,
but it was he was jacked. He felt it, and he said, "Yeah, I think I did surprise some people."
And that takes us to the other storyline in this game because at that point, just over six minutes to play, that dunk makes it 55-49. Yep. UNLV out in front. And momentum is going the Rebels' way.
Crowd is up.
Wink Adams is yelling a profanity-laced scream in front of the scores. I mean, he was jacked.
And that was aimed at the San Diego fans.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay. I would imagine. They were sitting right there. And, yep. But anyway, you know, in most situations, you think, well, this game's over now. It's you know, and UNLV does wind up winning, but they didn't hold that lead right out of the timeout. San Diego, over the next few minutes, goes on a 7-0 run, grabs the lead momentarily before UNLV took it back for good. But basically, I guess what I'm trying to say is nothing flowed really very well in this game, and I guess nothing was a given in a game that ugly. Because, you know, like I said, in most cases, that's going to be the end of it. UNLV's got it in the bag from there, but offensively, they struggled, turned it over a few times, couldn't hit shots,
right.
And it wound up being maybe a little closer than it should have.
It definitely. Big-time carryover from Tuesday, and that was unexpected because we can go on and on about the trivialness of them not having practiced in the Thomas and Mack Center before Tuesday's exhibition against Washburn, and the Cox Pavilion practice gym is a lot different than the Thomas and Mack Center, the mm-hmm. depth, the mm-hmm. rims. You don't have six baskets there. There's a lot that's different about it. So you could owe Tuesday to a lot of things. The Bulls were in there, so 2 weeks not on their court. But they've practiced back on their court the past 3 days. Joe Darger said they got reacquainted with their home. They were hitting their long-range shots. And then all of a sudden, again today, it just disappeared again, and they were cold as ice. And after that jam by Oscar, Bill Greer is a very good coach. He called an immediate timeout and regrouped their guys, and I think it was just a commendable effort by San Diego.
Yeah, especially given the fact that, you know, Gino Pomera is out, Dejon Jackson, you had three, you know, this was a team that had some hype.
Yep.
You know, coming into the season because you got all five starters back from a team that upset UConn in the NCAA tournament.
Tremaine Johnson. Yeah.
And three of those five starters were not playing tonight, two because of suspension, one because of injury.
Right.
But even with that.
And then Clinton Houston was the defensive stopper.
Yeah.
And he didn't play much last season, so who knows what awaits him on the offensive end this season. So that's a lot to miss.
And a lot to make up for, but they made up for it pretty well.
They sure did with defense, just kind of how UNLV plays, too. They're sort of mirror images in the fact that both play really difficult in-your-face defense and make it difficult. And that was a tough one to watch.
Well, now UNLV, this 5-game and 10-day stretch to open the season, it continues Tuesday with Texas Pan American coming into town. obviously probably not going to be up to the caliber of what UNLV saw even today. You know, and some might even say, and we'll say it, the next couple opponents really offer an opportunity to lick some wounds.
Absolutely.
And to build some confidence. What is the one area you think on Tuesday this team really needs to build confidence in?
Shooting long range.
Yep.
It is incredible.
I don't think there's any arguing that.
Yeah, some of those shots. I don't know if I've seen Joe Darter shoot so poorly. You can tell we didn't even have straight angles, and you can tell they're off the moment they leave their hands. And you know, some of them you think, wow, is that even going to hit the rim? Mm-hmm. So, and they're not practicing tomorrow, so they'll be back practicing Monday. They just better not take some of these teams lightly, because I think that could be a tendency.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they really need to just play a stellar offensive game. I really don't think that would be the worst thing in the world for this team. I know, you know, defensively, you look at the way they defended the first 10 minutes of that game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were incredible.
They were.
San Diego had no idea what was coming at them, and they really just need to find the offense to match it, at least here early on in the season, to build some confidence for some of these tougher non-conference games that are on the horizon.
Right. And, I mean, you know, and a lot of listeners know that games have ebbs and flows, and they come and go and all that. But if you can match your offense with that defense in the first 10 minutes, I mean, what a springboard to a game, and what it does. It's incredible what that does for you. And they just didn't have it. And you could just see, you know, that lead could have been a lot more.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be really interesting how Wink responds, because he took a hard fall today. The last time he did that, and he talked about it, he took a fall against Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. He came back from – there was a big doubt whether he was even going to play against Oregon in the Sweet 16. He did. He was hobbled the entire week, but he went at it. He played 31 minutes. He only shot 2-for-11 from the field. So how is he going to come back from this injury? And he's hobbled also from a calf. He took a knee in his calf Tuesday. So he is already starting to get dinged up. It's a good thing he's a physical specimen, because there's more coming his way.
He's not the only one that really needs to get back on track offensively either.
Right.
You look at the first between the exhibition and the first regular season game, a team that has gone 13-of-51 from three-point range.
Oof. Yeah, you know what?
It's a little shade over 20%.
It sure is. And, you know, Oscar showed us a lot today. 3-for-6 from three-point range. I am sure today did wonders for him. So we'll see if some other guys can start picking up the slack from the freshmen.
And two other guys I really wanted to just get in here before we jump out. Two guys who didn't even take the warm-ups off today, Deshaun Mitchell, Biaz Hamga. What do you see? I mean, Hamga played some extended minutes against Washburn. Mitchell played a little bit. Do you think this is an early indication of what their roles are going to be as the season progresses, or is it just really too early to tell?
I think it's too easy. I think it was a tight game that didn't afford Kruger any chances to go deep in his roster.
Yeah. So maybe this week, see him a little more.
You know, and the odd thing about that is, I don't know if it's too bad, but even Washburn really didn't offer him that chance to go 11 deep and really spread it out.
Yeah.
Because they had a task at hand to win the game, and you got to secure the game with your top 7-8 players, and that's not going to give you a chance to go deep. So I think Deshaun Mitchell is probably going to get some action this next week. I think people can look forward to an exciting dunk or two, and maybe
not much else.
Well, I'm not going
to
go that far,
tell.
but I'm talking about maybe a 30-point victory. You know, which will get him in there, and they're going to get some fast break looks, and it could be a long season for him.
Fair enough.
And Biaz, they're going to bring him along slowly.
Got to remember, he's just a freshman.
And Kruger reminds him daily. A lot is expected of him from outside forces, but Kruger says, don't listen to them, listen to me, and you're doing great. They want to bring him along slowly and not get him crushed by this weight of expectations, being a 7-footer and thinking he should dominate and go for 25-15 every night. Maybe give him a couple years.
Yep.
He has a long way to go and a lot to learn, and he's coming along slowly, and nobody is happier with his progress than Kruger, and that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters.
Yep.
Well, any final comments before we bounce out of here until UTPA? We will talk to you again probably midweek for another installment of The Rebel Room. For Rob Misch, I'm Ryan Green. Bye-bye.